away, and we have Brother Mike Barrett with us today again, and we're glad to have him back with us, sharing the ministry with us. Pastor will be on vacation for 2 weeks now, so you don't have to stay away just because he's gone, okay? But we are glad you came to worship with us today, and I hope you'll come back tonight. Let me just say a word about Brother Mike. He, for those of you who may not have met him, I know we've got a few folks from out of town here today, and he pastored Pleasant Garden Baptist Church for a little over 100 years. Seemed like it, didn't it, Brother? He is now the mission strategist for the Piedmont Baptist Association, and the Lord's blessing him and blessing our association with him here, and we're so glad that we have access to him when our pastor's gone. Let me lead you in a word of prayer before we begin. Father, we thank you for the privilege we have of being in your house today. We thank you for the privilege of living in a free America. God, bless us as we worship you today. Father, help us to put everything aside that would hinder our worship and focus our attention on you, that you might get honor and glory from this hour. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.
To 6:30 or on the screen, America the Beautiful. Please stand with me as we sing.
And all God's people said, amen. Amen. Wonderful singing. Again, I love that last was because it's a prayer. And that prayer is, again, for America to stay free. America, again, to go forward and be blessed each and every day. And that we honor God as a nation each and every day as well. Well, it's a joy for me to be back with you. It seemed like I was just here yesterday, but here we are again, and I'm glad to be with you. Take your Bibles, if you would. 1 Peter chapter 1. We'll begin reading there in just a moment at verse 1. I've had a couple of great weeks since I was with you last. Let me just give you an update of some of the things that's happening across our association. And that is, I was with last Saturday a week ago, the Messianic Church. It's a brand new church that's in our association. It meets over at the Crossing Church in High Point, and they have about 75 people, and they're just 4 months old. Again, they're growing and reaching their people. Again, they love and honor the Word of God. They'll read the Word of God in their service. Their service lasts at least 2 hours at a time, and they'll read the Word of God at least 15 minutes, just reading God's Word in that time. And then they'll have the Torah, which is Old Testament Scripture. It's on a scroll. It's written in Hebrew. And they'll take, while they're singing a song, and go throughout, again, the sanctuary there, and have everybody touch it to reverence the Word of God. Because it is the living Word of God, amen? It is the mandate of how we live our life. And again, if you want the Lord to bless you, be in God's Word, walk by God's Word, live by God's Word, and the Lord will bless your life greatly through that. Then on Sunday, I was at Green Street Baptist Church, and they ordained a Camus pastor, Celine. And he's been there for about 20 years at their church, and they came to ordain him. They have just purchased their own church building last week, and so they'll be moving into it in the next couple of weeks. They have been saving for 20-plus years. It is the first Camus church. It's a Laotian church, first Camus church in the United States of America that has its own building. And again, we are privileged to be a part of them. They are part of us. And you make, again, ministry for them possible through your giving through our association. So thank you, thank you, thank you for doing that. Also, one day this past week, we gave food out to 250 cars with one of our churches. Again, that give out, they do it every Tuesday. And so other than this coming Tuesday, and they give food out to about 250 families. And so that was a joy for me to work alongside of them and be a part of that. And then last night, we got to cook for Teen Challenge. I don't know if you've ever heard of Teen Challenge or not. It's an addiction program here to help people get free in Greensboro. And so we got to be with them last night, have a great time of worship and fellowship. And so God is working again to free people, to give people again freedom in their own journey of walk from addictions. And so I thank the Lord for that. And then back up Saturday a week ago, I was with an AA group and Alcoholics Anonymous. They were doing a baptism of a young lady that's about 53 years old. She had just given her life to the Lord. And again, they were baptizing her. And so they did on a Saturday afternoon. And over 50 of the AA people were there in support of her. Now, if somebody was getting baptized here on Saturday afternoon, would there be 50 people to support them? Hello? Yeah. So we need to do a better job of loving and supporting one another as God's people. I've often said, don't let the world outlove the church. It's a shame when that day comes that the world outloves the church, because we are again filled with the love of God. We were rescued and redeemed by the love of God. And so we need to be giving that out, sharing that out, helping each other in that journey time and time again. Well, this week also was a great week for freedom. Amen. We've made some great progresses again in some of the decisions that's been handed down by the Supreme Court. Again, to cherish some of the freedom that again we have lost but have regained. And I praise the Lord for the freedom for a coach to be able to bow on the 50-yard line and pray again over his team. Amen? Praise the Lord for that. And I just want to encourage you, stand strong, be courageous. That's the Word of God. Amen? Stand strong, be courageous for the Lord. Don't ever again bow, be bold again for the hour in which we find ourselves living. Well, let's begin with our message. That was just a view of the association, all right? But praise the Lord for His Word today. So let's look into it. I want to begin by telling you a story of a young lady by the name of Demi Lee Brennan. She was 9 years old, a very playful, active girl at the time. She is 15 years old today. But as she was 9 years old, playful, active as any 9-year-old would be, all of a sudden one day she got very sick. And so they took her to the doctor. They began to run tests, put her in the hospital, came out after the test and told the family, again, she is very sick. She is in liver failure, and she only has about 48 hours to live if we can't get a liver donor. But bless the Lord, again, they were able to get that donor. She went through 10 hours of surgery. They then began to give her the anti-rejection medicine so her body would receive the donor of the liver that was given her. They said over the next few weeks, she did remarkable. Next several months, she did remarkable. But about 9 months after the surgery, she became deathly sick again. And they thought in their minds, if you can imagine the parents, oh no, we're in this same transition. It looks like, again, her liver is failing. What in the world are we going to do now? And so they go back to the hospital, put her in the hospital, go through several tests. And again, they find something that's amazing. And that is her body was rejecting the anti-rejection medicine. And they begin to look at why was that happening. They had not known this to happen, but it was doing that. And so they begin to study. And in that study, this is what they found. Her blood type had changed. It had gone from O negative to O positive. And therefore, she had taken on the immune system of the blood donor and again, the blood type of the donor. Now, at that moment, that had never been known to ever happen before. Never. Again, it was not in the medical records. They called it a 1 in 6 billion chance that that would ever happen. So all they had to do was take her off the anti-rejection medicine and her body began to function normal. And today she's a well 15-year-old young girl living in Australia. That's where she's from. But it was a physiological miracle. Something happened in the T cell and the stem cell relationship for that transfer to take place. Now, I want to tell you this morning, if you have come to the cross and you have accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, again, the blood of Jesus Christ has been applied to your life. And because of that, the Word of God says you're a new creation in Him. All things have become new. And a spiritual miracle has happened as the blood type of Jesus was applied to your life. And because of that, you're redeemed and again rescued and saved. Now the news of that is this. You listening? Again, everything on your account that was wrong was placed on Jesus on the cross. And everything that was right with the Lord Jesus Christ, which was everything, was placed on your account. And a miracle took place as Jesus took your place and my place on that cross to purchase our salvation. And the blood of Jesus covered all our sins. Amen? Both past, present, and forever. So let's jump into the Word of God as we talk today about the security of the believer. Now, Peter is writing, and remember who Peter is. You remember who Peter is, right? Again, Jesus asked the question, who do men say that I am? And Jesus responded and said, you are the living Christ, right? And the Word of God says, only the Spirit revealed that to you. But then it wasn't long before Peter again was saying something that, Lord, you can't go to Jerusalem and you can't die. Again, you've got to live. And of course, Jesus said, get thee behind me, Satan. You remember that? And then all of a sudden, Jesus is on trial. And Peter has already said, I'll die for you. But right now, again, outside in the courtyard, he is cursing the name of Jesus and saying he doesn't have anything to do with him. And then all of a sudden Pentecost came and the Spirit made again, the blood of Jesus was applied to Peter's life and Peter became a brand new creation in Christ, began to preach, 3,000 people were saved. And from that moment on, Peter begins to journey with the church and to write hope again unto them. And that's what he's doing in this passage of Scripture. He is writing to them hope. Now, as I think of today, the world has gone crazy. I don't know if you agree with that statement or not, but I could give you fact after fact after fact that the world has gone crazy. And it's gripped by fear, and the world is living in fear day by day by day. Now, the thing, though, that really concerns me is that the church is gripped by fear. And we don't need to live by fear. We live by faith. And it's important that we don't let fear, again, control us and our reactions and our responses and our activity day by day by day. Now, the church that Peter is writing to is experiencing great fear, and they have a reason for it. There's great persecution happening against the church. Now, most of the time when someone was writing to the church, they were writing to a local church, to a specific, like the church of Galatia, the church of Colossae, or the church, again, of Ephesus. But as Peter writes, he's writing to a region, a group, again, where there's the dispersion that's happened, and Christians, because of great persecution, has been scattered everywhere. And they're responding back to Peter saying, Peter, what is going on? The world is turned upside down, and many of our families are losing their life, not only their possessions, but their life. And we want to know what in the world is happening and how can we face this? And so Peter begins to write them a word of hope. Listen, Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, through the pilgrims of the dispersion in Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia, which is today modern Turkey, elect according to the foreknowledge of God the Father in sanctification of the Spirit for the obedience and sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ, grace to you and peace be multiplied. We want grace, amen? And we want peace. Everybody longs for peace. Everybody will talk about peace because everybody has a longing for that. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his abundant mercy has begotten us again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible, undefiled, and that does not fade away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith for salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. In this you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while, if need be, you have been grieved by various trials, that the genuineness of your faith, being much more precious than gold that perishes, though it be tested by fire, may be found to praise and honor and glory at the revelation of Jesus Christ, whom having not seen, you love. Though now you do not see him, yet believing, you rejoice with joy inexpressible and full of glory, receiving the end of your faith, the salvation of your souls. Now, Peter is writing to a group of strangers who are scattered out again in the dispersion across again modern Turkey. And as he's writing to them, he's aware that they have placed their faith in Jesus Christ. And because they have placed their faith in Jesus Christ, they're going through great persecution. Their families are ostracizing them. Again, they're losing, again, their friends and their community. They're losing their business and their home and the possessions. They're being quarantined from society. They're being marked off. And if that wasn't enough, just happening around their community, the government steps in and begins even a greater persecution. I don't know if you know your history or not, but in 64 AD, Peter was understood to be written. In 64 AD, guess what happened to Rome? It burned. Now, again, Emperor Nero was not in town when that happened. He specifically exited Rome, went to the Amphicoast where he was playing his harp because he loved to play music. But again, he had something else beyond that. He had desired to rebuild Rome. But to do that, it needed to burn. And so it burns. He comes back into town, and guess who he blames? He blames the Christians for the burning of Rome, even though he had set it up again prior to his exiting and going down to the coast. And so what does he do? He begins even a greater persecution over all those who name themselves followers of Jesus Christ. He began to take them and dip them in pitch and put them on poles in his garden and at night set them on fire so you could walk through his gardens and be able to see the path that you were to take. It was all kind of horrific, horrendous persecution that Nero, again, was placing upon those who claimed to be followers of Jesus. And so they're writing to Peter saying, Peter, what in the world is happening? Our world is turned upside down. Why is God allowing this? We thought we were secure and that we were saved. Does God care about us? Does God know about us? Have we lost our salvation? And so they're struggling. Did we do it the right way? Again, what's going on and why is this happening to us? Can I tell you? Life happens, doesn't it? You're aware of that, right? And when it does, and life gets turned upside down, we're filled with questions, aren't we? We are. And if you're not careful, you'll even begin to doubt your salvation if you're a follower of Jesus Christ. And you'll begin to ask questions. God, why is this happening? I thought you cared about me. I thought you were protecting me. I thought, again, I was going to be rescued by you and blessed by you and not have to go through this. Well, that's how the people are thinking. And so Peter writes them to give them hope. Now, I don't know about you, but I know most people, as I've pastored for 43 years, there's a whole lot of people that wonder about their salvation. I've baptized people that were 75, 80, 90 years old that said, hey, pastor, I don't know if I got it right back then or not. Life turns upside down. All kind of things become confused for them, and they want to know, pastor, am I really saved? Am I going to heaven when I die? And you know, I can't answer that question for anyone. You have to answer that for yourself, right? But I know I went through a period of time when I was a young man, just in my high school days, my senior year, basically. I was saved when I was 7. I was called to preach when I was 16. I was planning on going to college and did to prepare for ministry. That's all I've known. But for my senior year, every time the invitation was given, guess where I was? I was down at the altar, kneeling on my knees, saying, Lord, if I didn't do it right, let's get it right. I want to be saved. And I prayed that how many times? Over and over every week. Over and over every Sunday, until I found the answer again that solves the doubt. You know, the answer is the Word of God. Getting in it, staying in it, reading it every day, letting the Word of God become living and life to you. And again, it will replace the confusion and the doubt that you might have when life is turned upside down, because eventually it is for all of us. Now, I'm sure you've heard the fact that the Trinity, the word Trinity, is not mentioned in Scripture. But again, the Trinity is referenced in Scripture many, many times, and you won't find it any better than in verse 2 right here. It says, the elect according to who? The knowledge of God the Father. In the sanctification of who? The Spirit of God. For the obedience and sprinkling of the blood of who? Of the Lord Jesus Christ. You have all of the Trinity right there, as Peter writes, saying, listen, it is because of the triune God that again we're blessed and protected and saved. And here's the hope that I'm giving to you. Grace to you and peace be multiplied. Now I want to tell you, if you know the crucifixion and you know the resurrection of Jesus Christ, and you've come to the foot of Calvary, and you, again, have placed your faith in Christ to be your Savior, God makes three promises to you from this word. The first is God's provision. Now, verse 3 governs the next several verses of this scripture. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his abundant mercy, thank God for his mercy, has begotten us again, has saved us to a living hope. That word begotten again is born again, salvation, through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Now that word begotten again or born again is in the Greek language, a aorist passive tense. Now, I want to tell you a couple of things about that because it's very significant, very important. First of all, it again is aorist, which means it's happened in the past. Happened in the past. So if you've been saved in the past, again, what Peter is saying is, again, you've been redeemed, born again in the past. That there's been a time in your life you've committed your life to Christ. Now, there was a time that you realized that you had sinned, right? If you've really been saved, there was a time you realized you had sinned. And that sin separated you from who? From God. And that you couldn't again remove your sin. In fact, you couldn't even stop your sin. You could try to turn off a new leaf every so often, but sin just kept coming and recurring and recurring. And then you realize you couldn't save yourself. You owed a debt that you couldn't pay, never could pay, but he didn't owe a debt, but he was willing to pay that debt. Amen. And so he paid with his life in full for you. And so Christ went to the cross, took my place, your place, applied his blood to your life that we could be redeemed and saved. John 3:16. I love that passage of scripture. Years ago, somebody told me to read that. And as I read that, to put my name there. For God so loved Michael. Amen. And you put your name there. Let's go through that. For God so loved, put your name there. You. Right. God so loved Michael that he gave his only begotten son, that if Michael would believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, he would not what? Perish, but he would have everlasting life. Aren't you grateful for that great verse of Scripture? God, again, gave us, again, a wonderful gift of His Son to be our Savior. But it's also in the passive tense. And that's very important because it asks the question, who's doing the work of salvation? It's not you. It's not me. It is God through Christ that has done the work of salvation and redemption. And so if you ask the question, have I lost my salvation? You're asking the wrong question because you didn't save yourself. You didn't do the work of salvation. You simply put your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And He is the same when, yesterday, today, and forever. So the right question is, can Jesus Christ be removed from the right hand of the Father? And the answer to that is, no, He can't, because He's King of Kings and Lord of Lords. He is in control. He holds all things in His hands. And the Word of God says He holds you in His hand, and nothing can pluck you out of His hand if you're in Christ Jesus the Lord. So you didn't save yourself, and therefore you cannot lose your salvation if Christ has given you that gift, redeemed you as by His blood, applied His blood to your life. Again, then you're His and secure. God's provision. But let me also say, Paul said it this way, I know who I have believed in, and I am persuaded that I am able to keep that I commit unto the Lord. That's not the way it reads. Hello? How does it read? It reads this way. Paul says, I know who I have believed in, and I am persuaded that He is able, not I'm able, but God is able to keep that I commit unto Him even until He comes back again. Wow, Jesus earned and Jesus holds your salvation. Now, the wonderful thing right here is Peter ties that with a living hope. Because Christ is alive, our hope is alive. And he's talking about not a frustrated hope, not a dead hope, not a wishful hope, but a certain hope. You know, sometimes I hope my team wins the ball game. But I'm not guaranteed of that, right? That's a wishful hope. Sometimes I do, sometimes I don't. I go to the refrigerator and I open it, the freezer, and I hope there's some good ice cream in there. But I don't know if my wife's gotten in there before I did or not. If so, it's not in there, right? And so that's wishful hope. But when it comes to the Scripture, it's not a wishful thing. It is a certain thing. The Word of God says right here, it is a living, certain hope. And that hope is Jesus Christ is coming back again. And when He comes, He's going to take the bride of Christ with Him. And we will be with Him forever and ever because of what He has done on our behalf. And so the Word of God says, praise God, He has gotten us a living hope. He has saved us, redeemed us. Then look what it says. To an inheritance. To an inheritance. You know what inheritance is, right? When someone you know that dies, if you're a relative, you're hoping they leave you a bunch of money, right? Yeah, that's an inheritance. The best description of inheritance in Scripture for me is when the prodigal son in Luke 15 came to the father and said, I want my inheritance. I don't want anything else to do with your religion. I don't want anything else to do with your rules at home. I want to go out and live like I want to. Now, you know, as Jesus tells that story could not have possibly happened in the culture of that day. Because, again, he was saying, I want my dad dead so I can live like I want to live. And so if he had gotten that inheritance, went back and came back with his dad still living, guess what they have done to the prodigal son? They would have stoned him to death. But Jesus is reminding us, again, what's impossible with man is possible with God, praise God. And even though, again, we can't do anything to save ourselves, God in His mercy and grace is able to offer everything that He is so that we can experience, again, that living hope and have an inheritance. And so a lot of people live to leave an inheritance to their kids. My wife says, we're not doing that. We're going to spend it all. Amen. No, maybe not. I don't know. But it kind of goes like this. Again, you're going to leave your inheritance to someone who doesn't deserve it, possibly. Whole lot of fights, whole lot of divisions have come over inheritance. You know that, right? And so when you die, what's going to happen? They'll have a memorial service. We'll go eat fried chicken and potato salad. Amen. They'll do that when I die too. It's all right. And then all of a sudden, my son-in-law that I can't stand is going to go and take that inheritance and buy him an F-150 Ford and live it up. No, I do love my son-in-laws. I just tell that to get your attention, all right? But there's a lot of truth in that in this world. But as he talks about inheritance, he describes it. And I want you to watch how he describes it. It is a gift of God that he's given us forever and ever. And it says it's incorruptible, it's undefiled, and it does not fade away. He describes that inheritance in three negatives, three ways, three Greek words. The first one is imperishable. You know what the word perish means? We just read that out of John 3:16, right? So we would not perish but have everlasting life. The word perish means that seeds of decay are sown into that which perishes. And the seeds of decay are sown into everything that's a part of this world except your inheritance. Get that? So again, metal rust and wood rots. And you're going to go back to dust and ashes unless Christ comes before your death, right? Because again, the seeds of decay are sown into everything that's a part of this world, except it's not sown into your inheritance. It's imperishable. Nothing can touch it to make it again go away or decay or at all. Again, you didn't earn it. You didn't work for it. You don't deserve it. It is a gift. And God's word says, praise God, the seeds of death are not planted into your inheritance. Then it says it's undefiled. Now, you probably know what defile means. It means stains. And again, if you go out to the glass doors, probably in leaving, if you have many boys and girls that come through this building anytime, guess what you're going to have on the door? Yeah, if you have grandkids that come to your house, and again, guess what you're going to have on the door, your glass door? You're going to have stain prints from the fingers, right? You're going to have those fingerprints. And again, as you watch it, again, everything has stains. If you've had your Bible very long and you're using it at all, when you flip the pages, guess what's going to happen to the end of those pages? It's going to become oily from the oil that's off of your fingertips because, again, you have oil in your body that comes out. And it's going to stain that's around us. They tell me if you hunt at all, when you go out and hunt, you come back, you need to clean your gun. Because, again, your fingerprints have gotten oil stains on that gun stock. And, again, it'll rust if you don't clean it to get those stains off of that gun stock. The stain of sin, it's all over this world. You can see it everywhere, except it's not on your inheritance. It's undefiled. It is not stained because, again, it was paid for with the perfect, perfect, precious life of the Lord Jesus Christ. And then he describes it as it will not fade away. My yard, just a few months ago was beautiful. My azaleas, man, they were just gorgeous. But you know what? They didn't last but just a couple of weeks. I've had some lilies come up. I've had some other flowers bloom. My roses have bloomed. But guess what? It don't last but just a couple of weeks, most of it. And it just all of a sudden, just overnight, it begins to fade and begins to lose its color and begins to die. And all of a sudden, it goes away. Wow. They droop, and the color goes away, and the beauty of the flower all of a sudden is gone. But the Word of God says here, listen, the wonderful, wonderful salvation of the Lord does not fade away. It never loses its preciousness. It never loses its value. It never loses its impact on your life. You remember the song from MC Hammer, Can't Touch This? Yeah. Nothing in this world can touch. Your salvation is God's provision, and it is secure in Him. Wow. Praise the Lord for that. Now, the second point I want you to write down is not only God's provision, but now God's preservation. Listen to what it says in Scripture. And it is reserved in heaven for you. Now, this word reserve means to watch. So I'm watching you whether you're getting sleepy or not, amen? So I'll know when to quit, right? So keep your eyes open for me, all right? So I'm watching and watching and watching. And that's what the word means. It's perfect passive tense, which means, again, God is watching and watching and watching. And I could keep on all afternoon saying watching because he never stops. He never stops. His eye is upon your salvation, and it is reserved and protected, and nothing can touch that gift that God has given to you. Now, who's doing the watching? It is God doing the watching. You're familiar with Peter again. He's one of the three intimates with the Savior. They go to the prayer room in Gethsemane, and as they're praying out in the garden, Jesus says, now you stay here, and you pray and watch, and I'm going to go pray in the inner part. And again, when he comes back, what are they doing? They're sleeping. You see, Peter couldn't even stay awake for an hour. He wasn't good enough to watch for his salvation. Thank God. It's not you and I watching over our salvation. It is God watching over our salvation. And the Word of God says God neither slumbers nor sleeps. His eye is always watching that inheritance, that salvation that is reserved for you. Several years ago, we took a group to Africa on a mission trip. I had 40 people I was responsible for. That's a pretty big responsibility. We were carrying over about $20,000 to do ministry with. And so we had to watch over that money, right? Yeah, we had to keep our eye open. And so we got to the airport real early at Greensboro to catch our flight to take off to Africa. And as we get there, I mean, it's 5 o'clock in the morning. As soon as the doors open up, we're in line. There's one lady checking all 40 of us in. And I don't know about you, but I'm type A personality, and I'm wanting to help her out. Says, isn't there someone else that can help you? Again, get us checked in quicker. And again, she's paying me no mind at all. I mean, I hit this 2 or 3 times, and she doesn't even look up, doesn't even stop, and she is going as slow as the turtle is. And I'm thinking, are we ever going to get through this line? Are we going to make our gate in time before they shut the door? And before you know it, it's time for them to shut the door. She finally gets us checked in. Me and the last two people are running down the corridor again as fast as we can to get to the gate, hoping they've not shut the door. We get there finally, it's still open. We get on the plane, I sit down and begin to unwind because, man, I was wound tight, hello? I was wondering if we were all going to make it or not. And so we finally get on there, I get sitting down, and I begin to think back. Now, why didn't she get some help? Why didn't she get interested in making sure she moved the process up? And you know what I finally thought of? Guess what? She didn't pay for those tickets. She wasn't going to lose her job if we got on that plane or not. She didn't have anything invested in that. She was getting paid by the hour anyway. She wouldn't have got paid one dime, whether we got on or didn't get on, right? So she hadn't had any skin in the game, you say. Who's got skin in the game? Jesus. Jesus gave his life. Jesus paid his all. Jesus gave his own blood, his own life, so that you and I could be rescued and redeemed. And so if you are a child of God, you've got your ticket, and God preserves that forever and ever. God's preservation. The last thing I give you is God's protection. Now, when Peter comes to this part, he's excited. He's greatly rejoicing. He was lost, but now he's found. And he's saying to those, you were lost, but now you're found. And he says, does God care? Let me tell you how God cares. Your salvation is protected by the power of God. Now, that's a good thing. Amen? Your salvation is protected by the power of God. Why is that a good thing? Because God's power is unlimited, right? There's nothing too hard for God. There's nothing God cannot do, right? Yes, that's right. And so, again, he's excited about God's protection. Now, as he begins in verse 5, he says, who are kept by the power of God through faith for salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. That word, kept, is feru. It's a military term. Meaning, again, God, again, surrounds you to protect you so nothing can come against you to remove you from his hand or his family or the kingdom of God. Now, Philip of Macedon began to orchestrate and create this word for rue, and the Romans came along and they conquered the world by using this process. They formed what is called a flank. A flank is a long line of soldiers, and everyone has a shield on, and their shields are connected so you can't get around the shield. So you really can't get to that person. And then behind them is another long line of soldiers, and stick in between each of those shields, as there's a small hole there, is a spear from the second row. And so as they're marching, as they have swords on the front row, spears on the second row sticking through, they're, again, a killing machine as they push through and destroy the enemy. And for 1,000 years, again, they ruled, again, the world using this method of a protected shield around them as they went to battle. The Word of God says, Peter says, there's a shield put around you and around your inheritance. And it's protected by the God who saved you. He's standing guard. And everything that happens to you has to have his permission. You do know that, right? It does. Everything that happens to you has to have his permission. And God doesn't waste anything that comes into our life. And everything that God allows is to make us, again, more Christ-like, and again, push us more toward him, not away from him. And you'll find when you go through hard times, they'll do one of two things. They'll either push you away from him or they'll push you toward him. And if you allow that to push you toward him, God again is faithful again to do that protection and that blessing and that provision for you. So what has Peter just said to us? Peter has said, listen, you're going to go through some trying times. You're going to go through some testing times. But again, all through this, just know that again, God is with you and for you, and he's protecting you, and he's preserving your inheritance, and he's providing everything you need in life. He defends you, he keeps you, and hallelujah, he holds you. Amen? Amen. Dallas Willard was a Bible scholar in his day, magnificent teacher and writer of the scripture. When he was 2 years old, his mother died. And he said, my world at that time just became unglued. I felt so lost. I didn't understand what in the world was going on, what had happened, and why it had happened. And I was so alone and unsure about life. The night that his mother was buried, he was in his bed, and all of a sudden he cries out, Dad, are you there? And a voice comes back from Dad saying, yes, son, I'm here. How about you get up and come get in the bed with me? And so little Dallas gets up, gets in the bed, and his father holds him close to give him assurance that he's with him. He's not going to leave him. He's going to be there. A few minutes of silence goes by, and little Dallas speaks up again. Dad, are you still here? And of course, Dad responds, yes, son, I'm still here. I'm not going to leave you. And so silence goes. Then a few minutes, he asks another question. Dad, is your face turned toward me? And his dad said, yes, son, my face is turned toward you. I'm here. I'm with you. We're going to get through this. Can I tell you that the face of God is always turned toward you? He's watching over. He's watching your salvation, your inheritance. He holds you. He's got you. You can be certain that if you've trusted Christ as Savior, if you've said, Lord, I can't save myself, but I'm depending on you to save me, and you put your faith in him, Peter says, you're secure in Christ forever. Praise God. Amen. Praise God. Let's pray. Lord, I know the freedom of this country can be in question. It all comes down to whether we allow you to be God or not.
And Lord, we can lose that freedom very quickly. And I pray, God, for mercy and grace upon our great nation, that you allow us to remain free. Thank you for that great gift of freedom as the United States of America. But Lord, the greatest freedom is through the cross. The greatest freedom is a freedom that we can't buy or purchase or work for or earn. It's a free gift of mercy and grace and forgiveness and love and presence of you, God, in our life as Lord. I pray for those under the sound of my voice right now that if there's anyone here that's not certain of their future, not certain if they were to die today, where they would go after that. Oh God, grab their heart today. Soften that heart today. Help them come face to face with a decision they need to make to trust you as Lord and Savior. We're not promised tomorrow. Your word says today is the day of salvation. And so I pray for anyone here that doesn't know you, that hasn't come to the end of themselves and said, hey, I've made a mess of my life and I can't remove my sin or change my sin. God, I need you to break that bondage and set me free. Lord, I pray as they cry out in faith to you right now, Lord, forgive me, Lord, save me, that, Lord, you do that miracle in their life that only you can do. And then, Lord, I pray for anyone here that's struggling about their future and about their certainty and security in you, that God, you would secure that for them today. Thank you for Peter, the transformation that happened in his life. And thank you for the transformation that's happened in our life as your children. We were dead in our sins, but you made us alive. You forgave us and washed us whiter than snow, made us clean and filled us with your Spirit. And Lord, we're alive in you. And we praise you, God, for that wonderful, wonderful gift. May we never take it for granted. May we live unto you with great courage and faith to the end. Find us faithful, because God, we know you're faithful. In Jesus' name, amen. Just a moment, we're going to stand and have our invitation. The altar's open. We're here to pray with anyone over anything that is going on in your journey of walk of life. If you're here and you've never made that commitment of giving your heart to Christ, I invite you, please, don't miss him. Don't put it off. You never know about the journey. Don't put it off. Today's the day. And so I encourage you to make that decision. Would you stand with us as we sing?
Accepted him back. If you need to make something right with God today, we've got time. you want to come here and kneel at the altar and pray, you want to do it right there in your heart. Make sure you leave here today with things settled with Jesus. I'm going to ask our ushers if they will, while you're praying, if they'll come forward. Father, we thank you for the assurance that we have, eternal life. Not that we're going to have it, Father, but we already have it because of our relationship to you, because Jesus died on the cross for us. Father, we pray that you'll bless this offering as we take it today, and that you will use this offering to reach those who do not know you. They might come to know you as Lord and Savior. Father, bless this offering, bless the gift and the giver. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. Be seated. Brother, thank you. If there's ever been a time in our nation, in my lifetime, when people need the assurance, knowing God's still in control. Thank you for that message. Well, we've got two folks that are having birthdays this week. Scooter Pegg's birthday is today. You see Scooter out, or want to send him a card and tell him happy birthday. And then Sheila Green's birthday is Tuesday. We don't have any anniversaries this week, but we do have some things coming up. Tonight, we're having the Patriotic Band Concert. We haven't been able to have it for a couple of years because of COVID. We're back doing it tonight. It's hot dogs and apple pie and something to drink. You come, you don't have to bring anything. We're not going to take an offering. We're not going to ask you to donate any money for anything. Okay, and we do have a cell phone that somebody's lost today, and you can pick that up right after the service. We'd like for you to be here. We have roughly 100 people already signed up to be here tonight, and you don't have to wait till 7 o'clock to eat. The service or program is at 6 o'clock. You come in and get your hot dogs and apple pie at 6 o'clock and sit down and eat during the concert. Jimmy Crider has worked really hard putting all this together, and I want to thank him personally for the work that he's done. This is going to be a great time of celebration of our nation. We normally do it on the 4th, but it's great to do it on Sunday afternoon on the 3rd. And then Wednesday, we normally have a men's breakfast at Olympic Restaurant in Colfax on Wednesday. Guys get together at 10 o'clock and eat breakfast, but they're not going to be open. So we are going to still eat breakfast. We're just not going to do it there. We're going to meet at the Moose Cafe. So if you haven't been with us and you want to come and eat breakfast with us at 10 o'clock Wednesday morning, we'll be over there at the Moose Cafe. And then July the 11th, we're having a blood drive. And it starts at 1 o'clock. And so we need you to be here. And I think, are you doing hot dogs and hamburgers? Hot dogs and hamburgers. So we're staying in the 4th of July celebration mode. And you need to be here. Pray for our pastor while he's on vacation. I got worried about him last night because I've seen a storm out there in the Gulf, but that's dying down a little bit. Pray that he gets a good rest and has good opportunity to refresh and he doesn't get run off from the coast with a bad storm. It's that time of the year. We're so glad you're here today. Hope you'll come back. Tomorrow, we are going to Camp Carefree in Stokesdale, and we're going to be cooking hot dogs for the group that's there this week, or Children with Cancer. And so we want you to pray for us. If you signed up and you want to come, be with us. We have enough to serve the meal, but I was hoping we could get a few extra people to come just to give you an opportunity to see the camp, see what's going on. They have different weeks. There's 6 weeks of camp during the summer, and there are different weeks, special needs people each week. I want you to have an opportunity to see it. We want to get more involved in a more detailed way in ministering at this camp, and so the more people we have that go and see the camp, it's a wonderful camp. It's 11 miles from our church. You can drive it in 15 minutes easy. If you want to go with us and meet us here at Carpool tomorrow afternoon, we're going to leave here at 4:30. We have to serve the meal at 6:30. If you know where Camp Carefree is and you want to drive up and meet us up there, you can meet us there at 5 o'clock. But we're looking forward to doing that. It's our first opportunity as a church to do that. Many of you know we were at Grace Community for about 14 years. Was it 14, Ken? A long time. Seemed like 100, didn't it? But we lost that opportunity because of COVID. We haven't been able to go back to Cuba. We haven't been able to go back to Wyoming. We haven't been able to go back to Canada. But we can go, about anybody can go to Stokesdale, okay? It's not far away. So let's look at that, and I want you to pray about that, that God will open up a door of ministry for us at Camp Carefree. Let me lead you in a word of prayer. Come by and speak to Brother Barrett before you leave today. Don't tie him up too long. I'm sure he's got a family thing that he needs to be at today. Let's pray. Would you stand with me, please? Father, we're so thankful for the freedom we have, not just in America, but the freedom we have in Jesus. And Lord, we thank you for the message we've heard today, the assurance that our salvation is protected in heaven, where not only rust and moth won't corrupt it, but we can't corrupt it either. It's there. God, thank you for that assurance. Lord, I pray that as we go from this place, we'll go with an excitement in our heart about who we are in relationship to Jesus and a desire to share it with those around us. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.